Good morning. At this time, the Pirates are 1-1. This afternoon, they'll be 2-1. Just want to announce that. So, this time, you can take your red books, pads, and sign them, pass it down. If there's any change, or email address or a phone number that you would like to give, or you change an email or a cell phone number, we would like to have that, and we would appreciate it. I was given this. Please join us on October 13th after worship for Deacon Cider Fellowship. And thank you for all who have donated coats, but many more coats are needed. We will collect until the end of October, so keep those coats coming. Remember for communion service to hold all the sacramental elements until all have been served, and we will take together. And please remember to sign a communion card for our records, and the morning's loose offering collection will be given to the session for to further their work. Mind you that we do have nursery care every Sunday. The library, which is right through here with the speaker system, is available for a crying room. And that's for any children may get a little rowdy and then people around you can't hear. Some people have, especially older people, have trouble hearing even with hearing aids. So let's be respectful, or if you get into a coughing fit, you can go over in there. Remind you about the 30-day church challenge on Sunday morning at 9:30, and then at my house on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. This Wednesday, we'll be dealing with the same topic that we're dealing with this morning, church growth. Okay. I'm going to call Arlie forth for an announcement. This is off the cuff here. She knows she's going to do it.
Good morning. Good morning. As Leonard says, this is off the cuff, but that means I don't have to practice for another one later. Just wanted to remind everybody that as we enter the fall season, we enter our stewardship period in the church. And this week, you will be receiving letters from the stewardship committee talking about the different things that happen here in the church and the different costs to keep the church running and to keep the doors open. And we just ask that you read that letter and that you really ponder and give some serious consideration to your gifts to the church, be they financial, be they time, be they talents, whatever gifts that you feel that you can give. And also we ask that you mark your calendars for Sunday the 27th, which is 3 weeks from today, for our Stewardship Sunday. We have some special things going on in the worship service. For those of you that have been with us for a while, we had an Advent drama several years ago, and Carol Kane, talk about off the cuff, just this morning agreed to put together a little drama for us for stewardship on that Sunday. And we'll also have some people talking about what brought them to Glenshaw Valley and what Glenshaw Valley means to them. So it's going to be a little bit of a different service, and we certainly hope that you will all be here to join us for that. And then we will have a fellowship dinner afterwards, a spaghetti dinner in the fellowship hall that will be provided for us by Mark Loveland. So please, as I said, mark your calendars. It's my understanding, not that it matters this year, but the Steelers are playing at 4 that day, I think. Paul would know. So, you know, you can all come and be here and celebrate with us. Thanks.
Very good. Is that right, Paul? Steelers play at that time. I think that's all the announcements. Oh, well, one more. There's no Women's Association meeting after church today. I knew there was something sticking up in there. Sometimes it doesn't get out. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise today, we praise thee, O God, our Redeemer, number 16. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession you find printed within your bulletin. Dear God, we believe that you created us to grow in wisdom, spirit, and love. We worship and praise you for giving us the Holy Spirit to encourage us. Forgive us when we resist the spirit of growth you require from each of us. Remind us of the importance of our daily devotions. Teach us the importance of setting aside time for study, prayer, and meditation. Help us understand the wisdom of studying in a group setting. Show us that we need community for true spiritual growth. May our hearts yearn to grow closer to you. May we seek to be more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us once again unite in our faith by reciting our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you're not sure of someone's name, a visitor, be sure to greet them.
Oh,
Very beautiful, very touching. Our responsive reading, A Contemporary Affirmation of Faith, 718 in the back of your hymnals. 718, A Contemporary Affirmation of Faith. We believe in Jesus Christ the Lord, who was promised to the people of Israel, who came in the flesh to dwell among us, who announced the coming of the rule of God, who gathered disciples and taught them, who died on the cross to free us from sin, who rose from the dead to give us life and hope, who reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, who comes to judge and bring justice to victory.
We believe in God the Father, who raised him from the dead, who created and sustains the universe, who acts to deliver his people from times of need, who desires all men everywhere to be saved, who rules over the destinies of men and nations, who continues to love men even when they reject him.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the form of God present in the church, who moves men and women to faith and obedience, who is the guarantee of our deliverance, who leads us to find God's will in the Word, who assists those whom he renews in prayer, who guides us in discernment, who impels us to act together. Time I call the elder on the door to come forward to present the prayer and praise requests.
Good morning. I have a prayer request from Lynn and Mike Love for Phil Hayward and his family. Phil is about to pass away, so we'd like prayers for his comfort and peace for he and his family. He is loved by many and will be sorely missed. This is a prayer request from Kathy Sagi. Prayers for a few friends and family members who are going through very difficult times with family, but also physically, mentally, spiritually, and financially. Prayers they keep their faith strong and refuse temptation. And a prayer request for Uncle Ray Swetko, who was just diagnosed with advanced liver cancer. May he find peace and comfort. And finally, a praise request. We have somebody who will be celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary this coming Saturday. That's Carol and John Kane. That's awesome. And then I'd like to call Jim.
I just want to thank everybody who's laid up for a couple of weeks here. Just want to thank for all the cards. I got a stack of cards and I'm going to stick. I didn't realize how many people knew me, let alone like me. My friend and my preacher, he was there daily to support me and my family. Thank you.
You got to have a good time. Update you just a little bit. Tom DeWorken, some of you know, he comes with a friend, usually sits right over in this area here, rides some motorcycles. He has had cancer. We've been praying for him. And he's gone back and got a very, very good report. Doctors do not find any cancer in him at this time. So praise the Lord for that. Diane and Paul Kocherhook, Diane is recuperating and coming along in her therapy. Paul has some fluid on his lungs. We need to pray for him and looking at some other issues. And Connie is recuperating at home from her surgery also. And keep the others in your prayers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's pray for Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, this five-week series that we're having. People's lives will be touched, and we will spiritually grow, and we will financially grow, and we will grow in love and compassion every way that we should grow as a church. And speaking of that, and throw this little announcement in at the same time, there's a new members class this Tuesday at 4:30. Already got a couple of people lined up if anybody else would like to join. And you can make that class. Great. If you cannot make that class, let me know and we'll have another time. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the church worldwide, the lives that you are touching and healing, affirming, transforming. And we thank you specifically for the church here at Glenshaw Valley that you planted many, many years ago. Still here, active, seeking to grow in spirit and truth and love and finances and in numbers and compassion and outreach. We desire to be able to give more in mission work. We ask for your guidance, your leadership in everything that we do, that you are the true leader and not us through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we can hear your word and go and do what you would have us to go and do. Help us, Lord. Give us the desire to look within the Word of God, to read our Bibles on a daily basis, and to pray on a daily basis. So we lift up all these different circumstances and people, many names and circumstances have not been mentioned. Some are very personal and private, but you already know that we lift them up to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior and our High Priest. Thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a loving God, a compassionate God, a merciful God. Help us to continue to worship you every day of our lives, regardless of the circumstances, to do our best to be positive and loving towards you and towards humanity. Heal these situations, and where we have the opportunity to bring health and healing and help people transform their lives, let us have the courage to do so. Your apostle set such a good example. Thank you for the prayer that you gave them. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is a screen song, Come Celebrate Jesus. There's one also in your book.
thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the gifts that have come from above. You're kind and gracious and loving. Help us be the same way by the gifts that we give back to your church, to your kingdom, to your people, to the neighborhoods, to the community, reaching out that they might find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and find the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for everything that is given in your name, Lord. Bless this congregation for their faithfulness. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our friend, our Savior, we do pray this day. Amen.
Amen.
Scripture for this morning is taken from Acts 2, 42 through 47. This is the general scripture that we're using for this five-week study. Listen this morning for God's word to you. Bill normally reads it, and someone else could have done this, but I didn't think to send it out and ask anyone, so I apologize if anyone would have liked to have done it. And if you would like to read, maybe after service today that you can tell me, and I'll have that in my mind to ask someone at a different time. Acts 2, 42 through 47. Listen for God's word to you. As they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I do believe that God blesses the reading and the hearing of His holy word. We're going to try this microphone today, and y'all can let me know how it works. Well, welcome to week three of the 30-day church challenge. We want a transformation in our thinking about the church, not just viewing it as a place to come to, but realizing that it is a vibrant family to belong to. We want to become the church a community of faith, powerful, inspirational, and transformational, touching our community with the power of the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and that people's lives can be changed, they can be transformed. So we have a vision for this series, and even after that, that we can change our lives for the better, and we can help people in our community change their lives for the better. Our challenge for this week has to do with the third purpose of this series and out of Acts, spiritual growth. In Acts 2, the first church was committed to authentic community. Verse 44 says that they had everything in common. The first church knew how to worship. Verse 47 says they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. But they had another important habit they adopted in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. But why did they do that? Because they wanted to grow. Chances are that when you were little, your parents had a special place. Might have been in a closet door or a door frame. And every so often, you would just stand by that door, and they'd take a pencil, and they'd mark your head and write your name or your initials beside it. Did in my house, and I could watch the progression as I aged, as I got taller. My sister, my other brothers, same way. Some of you and some of us, we watched and enjoyed seeing ourselves grow, and we got a kick if we actually grew taller than our mother, and maybe then our father. Some of us did, some of us did not. But all of us want to grow. We get excited when we see growth. Growth is such a part of us as human beings, the Bible even measures our spiritual growth. The Apostle John in 1 John says that spiritual children are those who have received Jesus Christ, their sins have been forgiven, and they know God. Spiritual young men are strong because they are reading God's word. They are involved in the cause of Christ, advancing his kingdom, and thereby have overcome the evil one. Spiritual fathers, and we could say mothers too, are those who have a relationship with the Lord deep enough to know God's character personally. In other words, they've been with the Lord long enough, they've established a real personal relationship with the Heavenly Father. That's how God measures spiritual growth, from coming to Christ to growing and serving to know God like he's a best friend with you. Life is about growth, and spiritual life is about spiritual growth. Have you ever noticed that the minute we stop growing, it seems that we start growing outward? And we kind of fight that growth for the rest of our lives? Colossians 2:6 says, "So then just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." And it's a tree analogy really here. Trees grow until the day that they die. And humans do also. Only some of us die on the inside before we show signs of dying on the outside. How can we tell if someone is really dying on the inside? There's a lot of ways, but there's three ways we can look at it. They stop learning, they stop maturing, and they stop caring. You can tell when a person has stopped learning because they never share anything new that they've read, they've learned from a seminar, or gleaned from a sermon, or podcast, or a small group conversation. You can tell when a person has stopped maturing because their character hasn't changed. They aren't becoming more thoughtful or more patient. They don't do anything more helpful around the house or the neighborhood or the community or the church than they did a few years ago. They have not grown. They're just stagnant. You can tell when a person has stopped caring because, well, they don't care. They don't care any more deeply today about whether or not a child is starving around the world, or whether or not people are coming to church or not, or whether the neighbor next door they know is not a Christian and is not going to have the promise of eternal life. They don't really care. It's not my problem. These types of people are growth stunted, and it can happen to any of us. It can happen to all of us. But life is about growing. Birds grow. I watched my little Xenon grow from a little puppy to a giant 115-pound Doberman. Plants grow. Trees grow. Viruses also grow. Germs grow. Microbes grow. Fungi grow. Everything that's living is growing. Good and bad both grow together. And over the past few years, most of us have learned that we have to grow in our job just to stay where we are, because those who aren't growing in their job skills and can't help their company may not have a job, because technology is changing so rapidly, it's hard to keep up. Even computer application you own, whether it's a Mac or a PC, gets updated every few months or few years. My iPhone, they just went to, you see it on TV or in computers, iOS 7. Well, I was excited about it coming out, and then it came out, and it's like, well, how do I work this thing now? I had to start relearning part of it. I mean, once you learn it, it's really nice, but having to go through that learning process all over again, it's kind of like part of me just wants to stop changing things. Just let's get somewhere and let's stop. That's enough. But that's not the real world, and that's not how it's going to happen. Some of you are struggling with Facebook like I am, or apps that come on your phone or your computer. You're trying to keep up, and it's hard. But life is about growing, and you're either growing forward or you're becoming outgrown. And you and I ought to be getting better until the day that we die. Romans 12:1, where Paul says, based on all the incredible things God has done for you, present your bodies, which is your whole selves, everything that you are, to Him as a living sacrifice. That's your true and proper worship. Then in the next verse, he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Life is about growing, and growing is about transformation. It's about moving from something we're not to something that we should be, something that God has called us to be through the Word of God and through a relationship with Jesus Christ and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that empowers us, encourages us, and guides us. So what is it we should be when we're all grown up? Well, herein lies a little bit of the problem. None of us are ever all grown up. I don't care who you are. But Paul says in Romans 8:2-9 that we're supposed to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Conform. In Romans 12, he says we're supposed to be transformed. To be transformed is to have our form changed. Trans means changed. Anybody ever seen the Transformer movie? You know those things just change all of a sudden. In a car, and then they come these giant robots. To be conformed is to have our form changed with another. Con means with. So the goal of our growth is to be changed to or conformed to the shape or the image of God's Son, to think and to act like Jesus Christ would think and act and behave. So what was Jesus like? He was a man on a mission. He thought like the one sent from God. He acted like the servant of all. He was kind and compassionate and loving and did what he could for other people. And that's what we're supposed to be growing towards. When you grow as a football player, you learn to run better, tackle better, read defenses better. When you grow as a Christian, you learn to believe better, hope better, love better. As you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, you believe less of what Oprah says and more of what the Word of God says. You become less of a taker and more of a giver. Your life becomes less about you and more about others. And none of this happens overnight. It's a process. It's an ongoing process. This is why Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, not renewed. You don't get renewed just once and it's done. It doesn't happen that way. Not one time, but all the time, you're renewing your mind. What you see, read, hear, and talk about, be transformed by the ongoing renewal of what you put into yourself. You and I need to be renewed and renewed and renewed and renewed. Renewal is a process that happens one step at a time, and the more steps you take, the more progress you make towards spiritual growth. Your goal is to step up to spiritual growth by committing to taking one spiritual step at a time, and it all starts by renewing your mind. Throughout Christian history, Christians have discovered that holding certain practices, especially repeatedly over time, can help lead to spiritual transformation. Coming to church every week helps reset your mental and spiritual clock by reminding you of what's really important. Then if for some reason you cannot come to church every week, Cliff is putting our sermons on the internet, on our web. You can go there and you can listen and be a part of the service and stay connected to this body of Christ so that you're not missing out. The second most fundamental step is daily Bible reading. The Bible contains truth. It's not like Sports Illustrated. It's not like Cosmopolitan, which contains some truth and then distortions of truth. Everything it says about God is true. There's no lies there about God. Everything it says about life is true. Everything it says about you is true. So when you read the Bible, it helps you think more accurately, see the world more precisely, and understand God more clearly. And the more accurate, precise, and clear your thinking is, the more mature you're going to start becoming. There's so many steps to take as you mature. And prayer and renew your mind. So does being in a small group. That's why I'm really pushing them. Sharing your faith forces your mind to be renewed because you have to be clear on what's true in order to share it with others. How can you share Christ with others if you don't know what you believe about Christ? Your challenge this week is to grow. Your 30-day challenge book, and I still have one left if anyone wants it. It's at home, but I'll get it to you. Gives you simple steps to take each day. But the major weekly challenge that I want everyone to take on, whether you're in the small group and have the book or not, is to start committing, spending time with God every single day for the next 21 days. Because 21 days is how long they say it takes to establish a good habit. Bad habits come quicker, but good habits have to work on just a little bit harder. So spend your time reading the Bible and spend your time in prayer. Now some of you, if you're not reading your Bible at all, what I'm asking you to do is pick up your Bible, whether it's in the morning, whether it's at your lunch break, whether it's at night before you go to bed, take 5 minutes. 5 minutes. That's some TV commercials are almost that long nowadays. 5 minutes and read your Bible, and then take 2 minutes for prayer. That's not much. If you're already in the habit of reading your Bible, double it to 10 minutes and double your prayer time to about 4. And as you're going through the Bible and you're looking at it, if you see a passage of Scripture that catches your imagination, stop and look at that passage, reread it, and then pray about it. What is this passage saying to me? What is God trying to speak to me today? Or pray about, God, how can I be more like that passage of Scripture? How can you help me transform into that which you're trying to speak to me through the Word of God? You know, a mature tree produces fruit that will produce another tree. Jesus calls it bearing fruit, and he says we can only bear fruit if we remain in him. This means if we spend time with him by reading what he's written to us, the Bible, listening to him and talking with him through prayer, then God gets the glory for the fruit we bear and the fruit that we help other people begin to bear. Jesus is the ultimate fruit bearer. Each one of us and all the other 2 million followers of his on this planet today need to bear fruit, good fruit. Fruit that came from following him and inviting someone else to follow him, and then they invite someone else to follow him, and then the church grows and grows and grows in numbers, and then as they come into the church, then they can start learning to grow and faith and spiritual maturity. Picture in your mind for a moment. You're terribly out of shape, like I am, except for walking a couple of miles a day. I used to lift weights all the time. Every day, 7 days a week. Sometimes just 6, I'd take a day off. Now if I went back to lifting weights tomorrow, and I tried to do the workouts that I used to do, Tuesday, I probably wouldn't be able to get out of bed and go lift anymore. I'd be so hurt and so sore. So if I go back to lifting weights, what I'll have to do is start out easy and build up to it. And it's the same way in our spiritual life. If you hear, you got to start slow and start building up. So if you pick up your Bible the first day and you try to read for 2 hours, well, maybe the next day you're not going to want to read any because it overwhelmed you. So baby steps. So you get physically, mentally, spiritually fit in the Word of God. And reimagine yourself as a spiritual giant, someone that is trustworthy, someone that is others-centered, where people will admire you for your character because they know that you are telling the truth, that you're someone who is patient with other people, that you're self-controlled, and you actually enjoy growing and being around other people. You can become that person. To get there, take one step at a time. To be that way, you'll need to think that way, which is why Paul says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So combine that with the challenges we're talking about during these 30 days, and you'll be on your way to rippling spiritual biceps and six-pack spiritual abs. So if you're not already in a small group, you can join the one on Sunday morning or my house. You can come right now. You can come at the last one. Just come. And then we'll start some others. I'm hoping that we can get some others in other people's homes that will just want to lead one. You don't have to be a teacher. You just come in, fellowship, and talk over a book, whatever. If you're interested, you can talk to me, and I'll be glad to help you. Or you can just come to my house or the one on Sunday morning. May God bless you. Amen. Communion hymn is 274, Break Thou the Bread of Life. Verses 1 and 2. Father, we thank you for this very special time in the life of the church as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his body, his blood, that brings about our salvation, but also remembering at the same time his resurrection and his ascension into heaven and sending back the Holy Spirit that completes. Thank you, Lord, for your love. You're giving to us, bringing us out of a life of sin, renewing us, transforming us, helping us to be the men and women, the boys and girls that you have called us to be. May this act of communion, the Lord's Supper, touch us this day, have a real effect in our lives. May we take it with the utmost seriousness, with a real sense of spirituality. May it be a part of helping our spiritual growth. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen. I want to remind you that everyone is welcome to take communion today. You do not have to be a member of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian. You do not have to be a Presbyterian. We just ask that you are a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Whether a young person takes it, we leave that up to the parents. But please remember to hold elements and we will take them together. Closing hymn 456, Reaching for Excellence. Thank you.
hope you go away committed to excellence, to spiritual growth, to reading your Bibles, to praying, to reaching out to others that they can find Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.